goes to.
In 1606, some manifestos appeared in Germany opposing the Catholic Church and claiming secret knowledge from the East. Although the Protestant Revolution had been ongoing for nearly 100 years, having been launched in 1516 by an ordained priest at the University of Wittenberg named Martin Luther, these new mystical manifestos drew on Arabic, Judaic, Greek influences, while Luther's Reformation was based around the Catholic Bible. Christian Rosenkreuz was listed as the author of the manifestos, but many years later, Johann Andrea claimed credit for authoring at least one of them, A Chemical Wedding of Christian Rosenkreuz, and he revealed the treatise had been initially intended as satire, claiming the fictional Rosenkreuz lived to the advanced age of 106. Longevity attributed to a study of Indian mysticism. The secret order was intended to usher in the Age of Enlightenment, and inductees were said to possess magical knowledge that will transform arts and sciences, but according to the author, it was a hoodwink that took on a life of its own. The oligarchies have long been fascinated by magic and easily suckered into a fraudulent seance, and Rosicrucianism became big very quickly because Europe was going through a zeitgeist shift. Secret societies were sprouting everywhere, and many were advancing the concepts of liberty, equality, and fraternity, ideas that threatened the status quo ruled by monarchies and their anointed churches. The largest and most successful secret society was Freemasonry, which had taken much from the outlawed Templars, but Rosicrucianism had a big influence on the evolution of Masonry, and some of its mystical concepts were incorporated into the emerging Masonic rituals. A few Rosicrucians began charging exorbitant fees for arranging ceremonies and sharing secret wisdom. But in 1776, a new secret society appeared, and it immediately positioned itself as antagonistic to Rosicrucianism. Interestingly, this new secret society was created at a Jesuit university by a Jesuit-trained lawyer who specialized in canon law of the Catholic Church. However, most of the membership never knew his name, and a story would be spread on how the Illuminati were actually controlled by a small group of illuminated masters, just like the Rosicrucians supposedly were. This may actually have been the case if Adam Weishaupt was involved with the attempt to remove the recent papal ban on the Jesuits, who had achieved monopolies of trade on a scale not seen since the Templars. Both Rosicrucians and Illuminati were recruiting members from within Masonic lodges and doing it in great secrecy. Weishaupt's strategy was to recruit the leader of a lodge, because if the leader joined, the entire lodge could be manipulated. Although Weishaupt claimed to be fomenting the downfall of religion and royalty, he was actively recruiting the rich and powerful while devising techniques that protected the society from exposure. Most members knew only their handler and anyone they personally recruited, while only Weishaupt knew all about everyone. It was such a conspiratorial time, many suspected their lodges had been penetrated by Jesuits, Rosicrucians, Illuminati, or all of the above. Mount Vernon, October 24, 1798. Reverend Sir, it was not my intention to doubt that the doctrines of the Illuminati and principles of Jacobinism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am. George Washington. I realize there's a popular movement afoot led by Madonna and others to resurrect the Illuminati as a force for good, something spearheaded by Robert Anton Wilson many decades ago, but I don't subscribe to that belief and view the organization much the same as Washington did in 1798. He considered it a diabolical plot to separate people from their government. There's little doubt the Bonesmen of Yale are the closest thing we have today to an Illuminati op, and the Boners have penetrated the upper strata of business, banking, and intelligence, not to mention the media and energy corporations. Their objective seems to be self-enrichment and acquisition of power, and apparently has little to do with enlightenment or helping the common folk unlock the chains of exploitation. It's funny how communists organized in secret cells just like the Illuminati, and they also obeyed an unknown central authority at all costs, just like the Illuminati. I'm fascinated by the history of communism in America because it appears the movement was penetrated and manipulated by spooks from its inception. In April 1958, a leader of the American communist movement named Morris Childs was sent to the Soviet Union and China to meet with top officials, and after 3 months he returned to secretly report to President Dwight D. Eisenhower and members of his national security staff. Enormous penetration ops were embedding secret agents into both sides of this carefully managed dialectic from day one. Simultaneously, in 1947, the CIA created the National Student Association, NSA, during a meeting of student activists in Madison, Wisconsin. Interestingly, there was a strong Catholic bloc inside the NSA that voted as a group. The NSA was one of the few organizations that openly opposed McCarthy's anti-communist movement, quickly leading to allegations they were a communist front, when in fact they were a CIA front, pretending to be a communist front. It's funny how so many devout communists from this era would emerge later in life as neocons, or how the leaders of the terrorist Weather Underground got professorships, leaving me to wonder if they weren't spooks all along. John Foster Chip Burley wrote a series of books on student activism for the NSA and took thousands of photos of student activists during this period. He also became an active shop steward for the National Lawyers Guild, which opposed McCarthyism, and was similarly accused of being a communist front, leaving me to wonder about possible CIA connections. For many years, Burley ran a think tank funded by the CIA-connected Ford Foundation and attempted to install himself as the leading authority debunking conspiracy theories involving 9/11 and the CIA. Strangely, he momentarily became the Washington, D.C. editor for High Times magazine and wrote an attack on Lyndon LaRouche that was published in that magazine. LaRouche appears to be an intelligence operation, as there has been migration from his staff to the inner core of the Pentagon. One of them became an analyst for the CIA-connected RAND Corporation while writing articles for the highly conspiratorial Executive Intelligence Review. LaRouche first surfaced at Columbia University in the late 60s as a Marxist and attempted a coup on the local SDS chapter run by Mark Rudd. Rudd would eventually join the Weather Underground, who were trying to spark a Holocaust on millions of straight people, part of their insane plan to create the communist states of America. Obviously, this was a spook operation that never had any prayer success, but merely deployed to scare the bejesus out of straight America while undermining and outflanking the once nonviolent student movement. Only stupid or naive minds or spooks can be led into supporting mass murder. LaRouche, meanwhile, trolled for brighter minds, using nets of complex Marxist ideologies while deploying the latest mind control techniques for holding the poor souls thus entrapped. Strangely, many of his recruits were Jewish and would soon be embracing the Holocaust denial movement. Willis Cardo and LaRouche formed an alliance, as both were constructing global operations on the far right, building connections into various secret societies and government intelligence agencies by sharing explosive information with choice targets. The mysterious Mitch Werbel became LaRouche's chief security advisor. Was communism created as an op from day one, or was it merely penetrated and taken over after taking root? There's likely a reason why nearly every modern revolution and progressive movement against colonialism has been subverted by communists. And that reason may be because communism looks a lot like fascism in disguise. Did the Jesuits create Illuminati to manage the Enlightenment? Did MI6 and CIA promote communism for a similar purpose? When dealing with the wonderful world of spooks, difficult questions like these should be considered, because intelligence operations are designed as a wilderness of mirrors, where up is down, left is right, and although people have the power whenever they want to take it, and could vote away the wealth of the oligarchies if they were better organized with more effective and focused leadership, and there's plenty enough resources to take care of everybody if only they could be better distributed. In truth, any successful movement that supports an agenda like that will be instantly penetrated by spooks.